It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
Welcome to CAT Scan, as we discuss the Prince George Cougars and other Cougar teams. Today, on our podcast, Tyler Brough. He is the president of the Prince George Cougars Alumni Association, but he's also the head coach of the Caribou Cougars under 18 team. So Tyler, lots to get into. We'll talk about the Caribou Cougars, the PG Cougars, your involvement with that team, the Alumni Association, all of that. And while the PG Cougars have been getting all the headlines for being a first place team, there's another Cougars first place team, and you happen to coach them. Talk about the Caribou Cougars under 18 team and the success you've had winning 16 of your first 20 games.
Yeah, it's been a real good start for us. We feel like we have a really nice deep team, good goaltending, good defense core. Got a nice shot in the arm back from Kenny McIsaac coming back from the BCHL. So that obviously generates a lot from the back end, and then of course our forward group. We like our depth there. We have some finish, some grit, and some good character guys on the team. So it's been a real good start to the season. We know there's some depth in the league as well. There's some good teams around us, and we got to keep moving on here to stay where we're at.
But it was recently that the third place team came to visit you, and you not only beat them once but twice. So they're really good. What does that make you guys if you beat them twice in home ice?
Well, it was a big statement weekend for us. Obviously, we prepped our team well, I thought, as a staff. Obviously, it's early in the season, but you kind of want to set your standard here. And Fraser Valley's a well-coached team, very, very good hockey team. And I thought we controlled the play for both games. We played the game that we wanted to play, and it resulted in 4 points for us, which was a big 4 points with them. They're below us in the standings. They have 2 games in hand, so it could have been a big swing for them, but we didn't give it to them, and it was a good weekend for us.
The Caribou Cougars under 18 have traditionally been very strong. They've won league titles. They've been in league finals, on and on. However, last season, 22-23, the team finished below 500, which was uncharacteristic for this team. But now you're back in first place and you're back to where we thought this team would be. So why was there such an off year last season? Why such an improvement this season?
Well, you know what, we talk about it a lot, and I think last year's team and this year's team definitely has quite a few similarities. Actually, we always kind of pride ourselves on being a hardworking group and not afraid to go to the hard areas and being gritty and, proud to be from the north and play that style of hockey. So I think that's always going to be our MO. I think this year we've got some strong goaltending from Ryder Green and Jackson DeCur, and maybe last year we didn't get a save when we needed it to, whether it was defensive play or on our goaltending. And I mean, it's just a difference. It's not that, they weren't good goalies. We just a little bit different structure. We have adjusted over this season, a little bit of our gameplay and our D zone structure. And obviously it's resulted in, less scoring chances for them and less grade A's given up. And, I think we've generated on our scoring chances, and it's just resulted in a lot more wins for us, which has been great for us.
Yet you're not going to Calgary for that annual tournament. It used to be the Max. The name is now changed. What about that?
Yeah, so obviously we have to make a decision in the summer if we're going to apply for it. As a staff, with the changes in the tournament, and a lot relies on that first game in the tournament for you. If you don't win your first game, essentially you don't have a chance to win the tournament. You move down to the B and so on and so forth. So, we went back and forth on it. We decided against it. So, we're really hoping on us being fresh and ready to go after the new year. Hopefully our guys take the time off, get some R&R back home, and then come back, with that fire in their belly, and hopefully we can still be on top of this league and push for a long stretch run. And Telus Cups, we've been talking about it, Telus Cups in Nova Scotia this year, and it'd be a great, great little cherry on top if we were able to, you know, win our league and you know, host Alberta and see what happens there and then make our way to the TELUS Cup. It's always our goal. You know, this year we feel like we have a team that can compete for it, and it's just going to be the intangibles, whether we can make it or not.
So you're in first place. PG Cougars are in first place. In terms of the WHL Western Conference, there's a lot of teams just, you know, battling the PG Cougars. BC Division is a little bit different, although Victoria is within, you know, a little bit of a range. But how would you compare the PG Cougars' first place compared to yours? It might seem it's a little bit tighter in the BC Major Midget League or BC Elite Hockey League.
Yeah, I think the, you know, if you look at our standings, it's kind of four or five teams pulling away from the rest of the group. You know, there's a point between first and second and second and third and fourth. So it's, I mean, it's super tight at the top. That's what I say. We, there's a lot of competition, a lot of well-coached teams, a lot of talent in the league. So, you know, I think our league may be a bit tighter as far as the standings go, but you know, you look at that Western Conference in the WHL and, you know, you have some strong teams in the Everetts and the Wenatchees and the Portlands out in the States that are, you know, really pushing hard on the Cougars, and they know it. And, you know, there's been some good games here that we've watched and, you know, back and forth or splits during the weekend. And, you know, good hockey that I've been fortunate to watch with the Cougars.
On the Caribou Cougars, can you give us a rough breakdown? How many players are property of the PG Cougars, the PG Spruce Kings, BCHL teams, WHL teams? How many roughly are not associated with any teams? Can you sort of, and give us the age of your teams? Are you strictly all 17-year-olds? Do you have many 16s? Give us a complete breakdown as you know it.
So this year, I mean, we typically, I'd say over the years, I've been involved for 9 years now, I think, or 10 years, and it's been essentially split down the middle as far as PG or local kids and then the rest of the players from around the region. We're exactly that this year. We have 10 locals and 10 players from around our region. We have 10 17-year-olds. We have 8 16-year-olds and then 2 15-year-olds, which we don't typically have a lot of 15-year-olds. Usually maybe one. This is the first year I've had two, I believe, since I've taken over. And they're contributing 15-year-olds, which is great. You know, one of them, Jackson Larman, is property of the Cougars, right? He's on their list, and he's going to be a nice young player. He's really developed well for us. You know, I'm always hesitant to have the 15-year-olds come on with us just for their development alone. I want to make sure that they're playing the minutes that they need to play to develop. And you know, the other 15-year-old is Jackson DeCur, who probably doesn't look 15 years old. He's got can grow a mustache, and he's 6'5". And you know, he's a Seattle draft pick and signed
6 foot
player.
6'5".
Your
goalie?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a big kid, and he's a Seattle signed player. You know, he's got a bright future ahead of him. He's still got a lot to learn, right? Our goaltending coach, Chris Joyce, is working with him and Ryder a lot, and he's developing great for us. So it's been a real pleasure to watch those two young guys be with us and contribute in a big way with us. And then obviously our 16-year-olds are still the core of our group, I guess, guys that we want to make sure that are able to come back if they don't get a job in junior hockey next year. And then you got, you know, the guys that I always say drive the bus for us, which is the 17-year-olds, and a lot of them are pushing for jobs next year in junior hockey. And, you know, they kind of are the hunger behind our group. And, you know, I think it's led by our captain, Mason Lowen, who, I mean, he's one of the hardest working kids I've ever coached. He's so committed to the game, and it's a pleasure to see how hungry he is to make it to the next level. And, you know, I'm of course, our staff is pushing him on some teams around the BCHL. To me, he's a prototypical BCHLer or junior A player. So hopefully he gets a commit here soon, and, you know, he'd be a pleasure for any team that's able to take him.
Now, you're 6'5" goaltender. You got another Josh Ravensbergen around here? Not to put any pressure on him, but.
Well, I mean, Josh played in our league last year, and he was a difference maker for his team. We played some tight games against him, and the reason why we came up on the losing end was him. And, I mean, I was quick to make some phone calls and some messages to the Cougars staff to say, you know, I don't know where this guy's rights are, but you got to check into him. And fortunate enough, the Cougars latched onto him. And I mean, he's been phenomenal. He's a hardworking kid. And again, the future is bright for that young man too.
But even you would be surprised at how good Josh Ravensbergen has been, starting with 6 shutouts in 13 games and the top goals against average and save percentage. Somebody that saw him just last season in Major Midget Elite. Are you surprised?
I think everybody's surprised. I think if you ask Josh, I mean, he's a quietly confident kid, but I don't think anybody comes into the Western Hockey League and knowing how great of a league it is and how many, you know, exceptional hockey players there is, I don't think anybody expects to do what he's done. You know, like I say, he works hard for it. He's stepped up to the plate. He's been given some opportunities that he's ran with. And you know, again, it's a testament to his work ethic and you know, his upbringing and all the work that he's put in over the years. Because, I mean, he came in as essentially an unknown, undrafted player. And, I mean, look at him now, right? He's tops in the CHL. And, I mean, the future is bright for him if he can just continue to push.
What's your relationship now with the PG Cougars other than, and we'll talk about the alumni during this podcast, but what's your relationship with, you know, Lamb and Playfair and, you know, the coaching, the team, the off ice, all of this? What is the relationship right now?
Well, I've been fortunate to been offered to, I don't know exactly what my role would be. I'm essentially a behind the scenes coach, I guess. I'm on the ice with them in practice. I try to make as many games as I can that I'm not away on the road with Caribou or playing with Caribou. So, you know, during the games, I'm up in the press box, kind of eye in the sky, taking notes for the staff and just passing on certain things that I notice and things that I think the staff needs to talk about mid-game. And then, yeah, like I say, on practices, I'm on the ice with them, you know, pushing pucks and just kind of, I always say I'm a sponge out there. It's been a pleasure to be around Mark and Jim and Carter. And, you know, there's a lot of knowledge in that staff, a lot of professional hockey games coached by them. And, you know, it's reassuring to me just to kind of hear the language that they use. You know, the words that they speak is a lot of similarities to the stuff that our staff talks about. So it's, again, it's reassuring for us. And I just love the details that, you know, especially Jim, I think, has brought to that staff. And the professionalism is incredible. And you can see why he's coached at a high level or the highest level for as long as he has. And it's, again, it's just refreshing for me to be around the group.
Now, when we've had you on prior podcasts, you've mentioned that, you know, when I've asked you about, do you want to be a career coach, that the job situation probably would not allow that for you. So that has changed. And it, just tell us how that has changed and how that frees up a little bit of time for you.
Yeah, I've had a change in the last 6 months, I guess, with my career here. I'm, you know, electrician by trade, but I've taken a position with West Canada Electric as a business development. And you know, I'm pretty straight up with them as far as what my ambitions are and what my goals are. And, you know, they've been super supportive. So they're obviously the ones that are allowing me to leave for a couple hours during the day and go on the ice with the Cougars. And, you know, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't want to coach full time at the next level. I think it's, I always laugh. I say it's kind of a sickness, right? It's in your blood. And, you know, I've been fortunate to coach Caribou now for 9 or 10 years. And I think, you know, it's not in my DNA to just step away, I don't think, and not be a part of hockey at some point. I think I have that burning desire to compete and be part of that day-to-day structure. And, you know, it's all I've ever really known. So, yeah. I couldn't picture myself, you know, not being part of a team in some capacity. And, you know, where this kind of goes or what it leads to, I don't know. But, you know, I think that the opportunity to be a head coach in junior hockey or a coach, of some capacity is definitely appealing to me. Again, I love the game. I like the high level, compete and obviously just being on the ice with the Cougars and just seeing that next level is really appealing as well. And it's, again, you know, you always have questions and can I, could I, and it's been reassuring again to just be around Playfair and the Cougars staff and just kind of, reemphasize the fact that I think I have been teaching the game the right way. And you know, it's really nice to just kind of get that reassurance.
What have you learned? And you've got a lot of experience, but you don't have as much experience as Jim Playfair. What have you learned from him?
I think just watching him and the details that he puts into the game. It's incredible to see, and again, a testament to him as to why he's been a coach in professional hockey for as long as he has. And it's because he's a true professional, right? He takes pride in it. He cares about it. He cares about his players. I joke with him all the time. Every time I come into the coach's office, he's staring at his laptop, right? And he's cutting video. And I mean, you know, does he have to do that? Maybe not, right? Maybe he can get away with not doing it, but it's just not him. He's a hardworking guy. He's committed. And I think you see the details in the Cougars game right now. I think just little things that, you know, may go by the wayside or don't seem like huge details, but they are. And in the grand scheme of things, I think this team's playing way more detailed hockey and it shows in their, obviously in the standings and their day-to-day gameplay.
Well, especially the penalty kill, which he has taken incredible pride. I can't remember the last time PG Cougars were number one on the penalty kill. And, you know, he's been responsible for putting that all together and using three different pairs of forwards. And I remember when he said when Zimmer went down with the injury, he goes to Funk, top goal scorer in the league. Zach wants you to kill penalties, and here's why. And here's what's going to get you to the next level. He doesn't hesitate about that, and players just buy in right away.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you take Hyder, for example. I mean, he's a dynamic offensive hockey player, very, very gifted, thinks the game ahead and above a lot of players. But there's always that question mark. You know, he was a minus player last year, and obviously it's little things like that Jimmy's aware of and understands at the next level. What's, you know, you can get drafted and you can maybe make the NHL as an offensive player, but what's going to keep you there is usually your defensive side of the game, right? And I think Hyder's taken some pride in that and being part of the penalty kill and doing a great job at it, and no different than Funker. I mean, Funker's obviously a goal scoring machine, and he has that hunger to score goals like a lot of players don't have. I don't know if I've ever seen a player that wants to score goals as bad as Zach Funk, right? And that's a great thing to have. But now you add some a little bit of defensive style to him, and you put him on the penalty kill where there's some pride in that. There's some ownership, right? And I think that's just elevated a lot of our elite players on the offensive side to just become well-rounded 200-foot players.
Give us some behind the scenes with the coaching staff that you're talking with Carter and Mark and Jim. When you guys all heard Riley Hite did not get an invite for Team Canada, you know, and just an invite alone is a little different because that wouldn't necessarily mean you make the team, but an invite, they invite 30 players. He's the top scorer in the WHL, doesn't get one. Yeah, he does have a year of eligibility left, but they've got 18-year-olds on the team and so on and so forth. As a coaching staff, now I know everybody's going to say the proper things and everything like that. What was said among the coaches, and why would you guys think that he didn't get an invite?
Well, and I mean, again, I'm involved, but not heavily involved. But I mean, the first instinct to all of us was kind of wow, you know, whether he was going to make the team. I mean, our opinions are probably biased. We see him day in, day out. We see his work ethic. We see him, you know, he's the man in practice. He pushes the pace, right? And the team kind of reacts around him. So I wish and I'd hope as a part of the staff that, you know, Team Canada executives would have talked or chatted. I don't know if those conversations happened or, you know, come watch him in practice maybe. And I think your opinions change on him. I truly believe that a lot of their opinions were made from last season or from previous play. I think if you've watched Hite play this year from the time he's come back from Minnesota till now, I mean, he's a completely different player. He's way more well-rounded. He's way more committed to the defensive side of the puck. And again, I think that's what's going to make him a good professional player. So, you know, it was funny to hear Jim kind of call him in. And I don't know if Jimmy wants me saying this on air, but he called him in and said, hey, look at, like, read this article. And it was about the Olympics when Crawford held Gretzky off of the shootout, right?
Yeah.
And he said, just kind of with a chuckle, he said, you know what? Everyone makes mistakes, right? So yeah. What do you do with it, right? And you know what was really refreshing was just seeing Hyder's reaction to it. I mean, he never missed a step. He said, yeah, it is what it is, right? I didn't get an opportunity. I really wanted to be there. I think I could make that team, but I didn't get chosen. So let's move forward. It's my focus is on, you know, the Cougars and, you know, signing an NHL contract, which, I mean, that's life changing for him. So he's really matured. And again, I wasn't around nearly as much last year as I am now, but just seeing him as a young man and a professional, he's really matured into a solid hockey player.
Would an ideal job for you be to be an assistant associate coach with the PG Cougars if that position at some point opens? Or would you look more as trying to be a head coach at the BCHL level?
I don't know. I kind of, you know, there's two sides to that. I mean, I've kind of transitioned into being a head coach at this level. That doesn't mean I couldn't change. I think I could settle into being an assistant coach or an associate somewhere. I mean, I still believe I have a lot to learn at the next level, and I'm truly fortunate to be able to be around Mark and Jimmy and Carter with the staff and just kind of learning every day and trying to be a sponge. You know, Mark and I have talked previous about a player development kind of situation and what would work as far as my everyday life. And again, that's kind of changed here in the last 6 months. So, you know, I'm my allegiance is obviously with the Cougars, just, you know, being an alumni and being kind of involved with them from the outside for the past 25 years or whatever it's been. But you know, I do have that desire to be a part of something and, you know, if that were to come elsewhere, you know, I'd definitely have to think about it. Obviously I have a very supportive wife and kids and they've allowed me to be part of Caribou for the last 10 years. And it's a lot of time and a lot of effort and, you know, a lot of stress on the family. And, you know, again, I've been very fortunate to have a supportive wife and two kids that really, you know, want me to be a part of it. And they know how much it means to me and how much I care about it. So, I wouldn't be able to do it without them. So that conversation would have to happen first, but, you know, we'll see what opportunities come, if any, and then just kind of take them day by day here.
You know, I've had many ex-players on the podcast over the years, and they all say, well, playing will always be number one. You can never replace that. But after that, you know, coaching is probably the second best thing.
Yeah, and I think for me, it took a few years to kind of settle into actually being a coach. I think you think like a player for the first little while. And I think definitely when I was an assistant under Trevor and I did a couple of years of minor hockey before that, I still had that mentality, the playing mentality. And I truly believe you don't become a good coach until your mind changes to a coach and you just see the game a little bit different. There's a few things, you know, day in, day out, game in, game out that you have to kind of change your mindset on. And it took me a while to do that. And, you know, everyone that's played the game loves, you know, being in the dressing room, being around the guys. That's kind of what I think everyone tells you that they miss the most. But it's no different when you get involved with a good staff, when you have good people around you, it's refreshing to go to the rink every day. And I think that's where we're at. I have two good assistants, RJ Barrett, who's been with me from day one. And then Jordan Duncan, who's been with us for 5 years running the D, and obviously Trevor's been there, you know, by my side, either as the head coach or GM with the program. So, you know, you surround yourself with good people and it makes going to the rink every day or going on the road, you know, that much more, it makes it that much worth it, you know, and it's been a good year for us so far.
Tyler Brough is the Caribou Cougars under 18 head coach. He's also the president of the Prince George Cougars Alumni Association. We do want to talk more about the PG Cougars, the alumni. Before that, though, January every year, it's outdoors Fort St. James. 2024, no different?
Same thing. Yeah, we're gearing up here. I just literally just had a conversation with Trevor this morning about some details on it. And we're going to have the Okanagan Rockets come up, which, you know, we've kind of discussed that it's could be, I mean, they're a big, strong, hard-hitting team. We, you know, we fancy ourselves to be a gritty, hardworking northern team. So it could be a bit of a war in that small venue outdoors as well as the Fort Forum. So, You know, it's something that we kind of gear up for every year. We look forward to doing it. I mean, we start out on Friday with doing some minor hockey stuff with Fort St. James and going to some school visits. And I always appreciate that side of it and getting our captains out there just to mingle and kind of understand, you know, there's the community side of stuff that means so much to these communities that, you know, maybe they don't understand at our level, but at the next level. And again, we see it with the Cougars where they're visiting schools and doing different things on the weekly. And I think it's a big deal. So, you know, we're gearing up for that outdoor game. Hopefully the weather can hold up like it did last year and we can get through the game. And it's just such a good atmosphere. See the locals helping out and coming and cheering them on, all the little kids running around. It's so nice to do.
Secretly though, don't you want it minus 30 and the wind blowing just to see if you can survive and then tell everybody that you did it?
Yeah. Well, I think every year we're no different, right? Storytellers, it always seems to drop 5 degrees every year. We had one year where it was, I think it was 16 below. And you know, if you ask our players now, they'd tell you it was 30 below.
Yeah,
and they had to wear balaclavas and everything. But yeah, as long as we can get through the game, I mean, the colder, I think the better. I mean, We skated outdoors a few years ago at the Max in Calgary. A friend of mine lived there, and we lined up an outdoor kind of pregame skate, and it was chilly there. The wind was howling through, but it was just such a good experience and something that, you know, you don't always get a chance to do, and just kind of look around, and you're out there in the fresh air, and I think it's good for these guys.
Have you ever played outdoors?
I've never played outdoors, no.
Is that sort of something you sort of look back and say, gee, I wish I would have had that chance?
Yeah, well, and we talk about it, right? I think, you know, I don't think any of our guys take it for granted, but you know, we definitely don't want them to, because you might never get another chance. And you know, I know a lot of our alumni, we have, you know, our alumni game coming up here on December 19th, and a lot of them that have the chance in the last few years to play that game, it's a lot of the topic usually, and it's just something that's a little bit different, right? It's you don't get a chance maybe ever in your career or twice in your career. So, you know, obviously we want to win the game, but you got to kind of soak it in as well.
Yeah. Are the girls, Northern Capitals, are they going to be part of that and play outdoors as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. They're playing on the Sunday. So we'll play the first game and then they'll have the second game. And I believe, actually, you know what? I think they might be playing Friday night, but yes, they'll play outdoors. And I know last year, we had some PG minor hockey teams come out and play against each other. So it was cool for those young guys to get out there on the outdoor rink and be a part of it. And, you know, we'll be doing that again. So it's just a big, big weekend of great experiences and good for the community and good for the program.
Let's, as we talk about now the Alumni Association, refresh everybody about your career with the PG Cougars, late 1990s. And there was some success with the teams back then. But tell us how you came to Prince George, how you became a member of the Cougars, how long you're with them, most memorable, and then we'll talk about now being in charge of the Alumni Association.
Yeah, I was obviously grew up in Grand Prairie and got listed by the Cougars, but was still kind of a, I guess you could say, in a Ravensburgian situation. I made the team out of camp and maybe wasn't supposed to. It was Stan Butler's first year here with Polonich, and you know, it was eyes wide open for me. And you know, I talk about it with our guys a lot, and it's you know, I came out of my small little circle or bubble and was a, you know, a high end player, if you want to say that, put up a lot of points. And once I got here, I quickly realized that I need to make sure I can play both sides of the puck. I need to be physical. I need to, you know, maybe fight a little bit if that came to me, but stand up for your teammates and just do whatever needed to be done to stay, right? And you know, it's funny, you talk to like Ronald Petrovicki, who scored 64 goals in this league, in the Western League, and you know, he makes it in the NHL and has to do the same thing, right? So there's so much talent there, and I was fortunate to make the team as a 17-year-old and you know, play with some great leaders and some great players. And I ended up playing 3 years here, and we made the playoffs every year. We went to the Western Conference Final my first year, and you know, some unbelievable memories. It's still, you know, they have the intro going before the games nowadays, and it still sends shivers down my spine just watching it, just watching the whiteouts. And I mean, how the community just latched onto this team was truly amazing. And you know, funny enough, there's a lot of us on this list, but we talk about guys that ended up marrying PG girls. Well, I'm one of them, right? I met my wife here while we were in finishing up high school and playing for the Cougars, and ended up marrying her and coming back. So my kids are both born and raised here. And, you know, after a few years, I played some senior and decided not to go kind of pursue hockey, and got my ticket, my electrical ticket here. You know, we kind of moved forward, just life happening. And then Dallas Thompson and I started talking about an alumni thing. We got to get the alumni going. We got a rich history of some good hockey players and some good people. So let's get this going. And, you know, finally it kind of came to life, and we started with the golf tournament. And I think just it's kind of grew ahead of its own, right? It's really become a statement of the summer here in Prince George. And it's selfishly for me, it's a great way for me to connect with old teammates and new guys that play for the Cougars that I never knew before. And we all kind of share the same story, but it's our own stories, right? And it's nice to get them all back here in the summer, and most of them, all of them, are truly appreciative of Prince George and the fan support that they had. And I mean, it was nice to see the other night a full building on Teddy Bear Toss. And, you know, I'll tell everybody that'll listen, I mean, I barely played a handful of games that weren't sellouts in my time. And that's just, you know, I'm fortunate for that. And it definitely helped us. And it was, you know, a driving force behind why we were very successful and won a lot of hockey games because of that, you know, seventh man, if you want to call it that.
I'm going to ask a question that's really not a fair one to ask, and you're going to have to be political with your answer. Who wins, the 97 PG Cougars that you are on, or this year's PG Cougars, the 23-24 edition?
Well, that's a tough one. I think it's two different style of games. I think we would... Back then, I think we would probably be, if we played nowadays, we'd be taking a lot of penalties.
And they do have a good power play. They're number one power play in the WHL.
And I wouldn't want to face their power play. So, and vice versa, if you took this team back to that time and you played us, I think we'd have run them through the rink, right? Yeah. But again, it's just two different eras. Two very good hockey teams. I think we had, 43 wins or 45 wins that year. And I mean, this team's pushing for, you know, that number or more. So, I mean, it's nice to see that this team is doing big things, and I'll hope nothing but the best for them, and hopefully can continue on here where, you know, we're pushing into the playoffs here and coming into our stride and play some meaningful games here.
But the Cougars were playing a little possum in 97, and Zdeno Chara didn't play all the games. You guys were not healthy until the playoffs. You got off to that great start. Won first seven or eight games, went 7-8-1. Then you went on the prairie trip. You couldn't win a thing. Then you ran into injuries, all kinds of things. Then Stan Butler says, we're just going to wait, get everything together for the playoffs. I mean, you got Kiyokowski and, you know, Brewer.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Chara. You got, you know, all these guys. That's just the back end.
Yeah.
Let alone all the scores that you had up front. So when you say we only had 43 wins, yeah, that's true, but that's downplaying the real team you had. And then yeah. Chris Mason shows up in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I was, you know, this year kind of very similar where, you know, I believe we were 9-3 in my that year. We were headed out east and for six road games, and we came back 9-9. Right.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that. But again, I kind of waltzed in there this year and in the coach's room, like, hey, you guys are 9-3 going out east. I said, just be aware of this. And they kind of all looked at me like, why would you tell me that, refer? But
yeah,
you know, kind of a chuckle. But I mean, yeah, it really did all come together. We had tons of injuries. We missed some big name guys during that season that came back healthy in the playoffs. And obviously Mason was, I mean, at the top of his game. I've never seen goaltending like that yet in this league. He was unbeatable, and you know, we had guys step up and score timely goals and some luck on our side, and it just worked out, and it was incredible to be around.
The Big Z is a Zdeno Chara. Everybody wants to see him come to Prince George for the golf tournament. You had mentioned that, you know, there's always going to be a possibility once he retired. Nobody thought he was ever going to retire. He has retired. Is he possibly going to come to PG?
I always hold on to the possibility chance. I mean, I'm always in his ear a little bit. I've got his old billets, you know, Barb and Irv, man, on it, and they have a great relationship with him still. So, you know, we're working from many different angles, and I know he wants to get back here at some point. You know, when that's going to be, that's totally up to him and his family. And again, we're here to accommodate whenever that happens. Cause I mean, he's always the big draw. We have obviously some great ex-NHLers and big names and guys that have done big things in their careers or their lives that we're fortunate to get back, but it's always been like, well, when's Z coming, right? Big Z, he's the main attraction. So if we could ever get him back, definitely we'd make a big spectacle out of it, make a big deal, just because, you know, I think he deserves it. And I mean, he's made a career out of, you know, he did it himself, and it's awesome to see what he's doing. He's a busy man. He's running marathons and he's doing different things away from hockey. And, you know, it's obviously he's got a young family as well. So, you know, I get that and I understand that, and I don't want to push these guys too much, but he'd sure be a nice guy, nice player, nice alumni to get back here, that's for sure.
Right. I know that's been a goal of yours, is, you know, because everybody wants to see him back in PG, and he's never closed the door on it.
No. Yeah. No, and it's always been good conversation with him. And I mean, again, I respect the fact that he's got a lot going on in different things, and he's back in Europe for a lot of the year in the off season, and his kids are, you know, his main focus, which they should be. And you know, it would be great if we could get him back here. And again, we're doing everything in our power to try and make that work out.
What about other guys that you're looking to get back for the golf tournament, guys that maybe you haven't had here very often or not at all, or, you know, that want to come? I mean, I know a lot of guys want to come, works out for dates, all that. Where are you at for this year's golf tournament?
Well, we're kind of just getting into it. This is about when I start, you know, sending out some feelers, and there's always the kind of the bigger names that we want to go after first. Obviously, I think Dustin Byfuglien's been a big one, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, he's another one on the list that married a local girl, and you know, he's kind of a wild card as far as where he's at in his life right now, but I think he'd be a big attraction, and just be nice to get him back. You know, Chris Mason's been a guy that we've kind of pushed to try and get back here. He's another busy guy. He's still heavily involved with Nashville, and his daughters play you know, fastball or slow pitch in the summers. So everyone always has a lot going on. We've been fortunate to have, you know, the Bouks and the Connollys and the Betzes back a few times over the years, but you know, getting those guys consistently back is kind of always been my goal and always been my target. And, you know, is it going to happen? You know, maybe not. You know, Trent Hunter's a guy we've been chatting back and forth over the years, and it's just never worked out, but we want to try and get him back as well. And, you know, of course I'm starting to lean on the younger guys to push some of the guys in their era. So I don't have that personal connection. I can't rib them as much as I can the guys that I played with or around, but, it's funny, once you get to know these guys, whether you played with them or not, we all have similar stories. So, you know, your friendships kind of grow and you start to understand who they are. And it's been a good relationship for me. So hopefully we're going to have, you know, our 30, 35 guys this year, which we were hoping for last year, and it didn't work out. So, you know, that's always our goal.
Yeah. And there's always been a big hole that with the passing of Gary Sampson, because he really put a lot into it, did a lot for the PG Cougars, the Alumni Association, the golf tournament and everything like that. So trying to fill that role has been difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think you ever replace a guy like Gary Sammis, who, I mean, at the end of it, he was kind of the driving force. I mean, Dallas and I and a few other people, Ken Goss, and, you know, we kind of got it off the ground. But Gary was, in my opinion, the driving force behind actually grabbing onto it and pushing it. And, I mean, he had a lot of passion, and him and I spent a lot of time having coffee, and you know, I very much appreciated the time I was able to spend with Gary, just talking about different things. And the funny thing with Gary, it always started talking about our families, and then 10 minutes in, we transition into the alumni tournament and how we're going to make it bigger and better. So, you know, we try to honor him every year, and so we should. The tournament wouldn't be where it is today without him. So, you know, we're thankful for all the time and effort that he put into it. And we try to, you know, do him proud by just continuing to make it bigger and better every year. And just, you know, that donation that we can give back to the Spirit of the North is obviously the big factor behind it. And we you know, we lean on and rely on local businesses and sponsorships that have always jumped on, you know, both feet in. So it's been a pleasant surprise here for me, just kind of over the last few years, how much it's grown and where we're going to go with it. And it's nice to hear just from people that they look forward to it every year, to the mingling and the tournament itself.
Yeah. Gary Samus was obviously the ultimate volunteer. The association right now, the alumni, day-to-day, I mean, it doesn't really operate like a day-to-day thing, but where is it at? Do you have meetings? Do you have other people involved? Where's sort of things at?
Yeah, like I say, once we get into the new year, we'll start having official meetings, and we have quite a big group together now with some different business owners and people that are sitting on the Spirit of the North board that help out heavily. I mean, Amy's done a great job since she's come on. You know, we got Darcy Bryant and Jim Meyer and a bunch of people that help out. Obviously, Taylor Dakers from the Cougars side has helped out, and I'm going to try and drag Dan O'Connor into it. He's mm-hmm. back in town, so he'll be a big help to just kind of, you know, help us out, help me out as far as the alumni go. That's kind of where I just strictly stick to, is the alumni and trying to get as many guys back as we can, and the right guys. And you know, I think Dan'll can help me with that big time. So we're gonna, once he gets settled into UMBC and his job there, we're gonna meet here after the new year and trying to hammer out a few things.
The relationship between the Caribou Cougars and PG Cougars, I get the sense it's as close as it's ever been, correct?
Yeah, I think, I mean, natural is, you know, once you insert me kind of into their staff, I think it's just natural for that to help things. You know, I think the change with the BCHL this year and the Spruce Kings, you know, us being unable to AP with them, is hard for our group, for the U18 level. You know, obviously there's still a lot of conversations between myself and our staff with Mike Hawes and Craig Carter, their development guys. So we're still pushing heavily our guys to the BCHL. And, you know, I think you start to understand at our level which players can play in the Western League and which guys are pushing more towards Junior A. So, you know, that's our main focus, is developing these guys into hockey players and giving them a chance to get to the next level. So, you know, I think having Jackson Larmond and some APs and some guys that are on their list with the Cougars obviously benefits as well. And, you know, when they can see their list player from us come up to their program and do a good job, then it obviously helps, right? And I take a lot of pride in having conversations with GMs and coaches at the next level, and they always kind of comment or are happy with our guys, with how ready they are for junior hockey. I mean, they ride buses, they sleep in hotels, right? They've done this before. It's not new to them. So, you know, getting them ready for the next level is huge for us, and it's always our main focus.
I'm curious, your 10 years with the Caribou Cougars, just a rough estimate, how many of the players that have played for Caribou Cougars, percentage-wise, have gone to the WHL? How many have gone to the BCHL? And how many have not gone to either or a lower level of hockey like Junior B, which I know is sort of up to Junior A now? But take a look at, you know, BCHL, WHL percentages, and then those that just didn't even get that far.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of changes year in, year out. You know, I think back to actually mid-COVID, we were quite concerned as to how we were going to be able to move guys on with, you know, there wasn't going to be much video out there. We weren't going down the road to showcase our guys. So it was going to be a lot of word of mouth and us kind of, you know, getting our players' names out there and having these conversations. And, I mean, we were fortunate that year to move 13 guys on out of 20. You know, obviously we have some 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds that aren't eligible to move on or weren't ready. But, you know, that number for me really stood out. I think six of them were Western League and seven were Junior A, whether it was the AJ or BC. Mm-hmm. And it kind of flip-flops. You know, I think the following year after that, we only moved one guy onto the Western League and then 11 onto Junior A. So as you kind of, you get through spring camp and you kind of see who your group is and where they're at, you kind of start to understand if you're a, a split, you know, junior A and Western League guys, or if you're heavy one way or the other. You know, I think this year we're going to be kind of split down the middle. We have, I think, five guys that are WHL property, and we have six or eight that we believe are going to play junior A next year. So, you know, it kind of, sometimes it sorts itself out. Sometimes, you know, players are still unsure at the age of 17 and they're waiting for, you know, a team to commit to them either way. So, you know, we're kind of here for the support and develop and make sure that they're ready to go either way. And again, we want our players ready for junior hockey, whether it's, you know, BCHL, AJHL, or going to the SJHL, or jumping up to the Western Hockey League.
But it seems like more than half go to either WHL or BCHL or equivalent over the long haul. And then of that 50% or more, it splits sort of down the middle. Those are just rough from what
I'd say typically we're about half of our guys on to some level of junior hockey. Over the years we've had a few players come up to us at Christmas time and just say, "Hey, Bruffer, I want to go to school next year. I'm done with hockey. I'm going to play hard till the end of the year." And I mean, we've had captains that have done a great job for us that had opportunity at the junior level and decided to go to trade school or go to, you know, post-secondary. And I appreciate that. And I mean, life isn't always just about sport. You have to, at some point you're going to move on and, you know, not be an athlete. So, I mean, we pride ourselves on little things like that away from the rink, being in the community and, you know, using your manners around restaurants and hotel rooms and respecting everybody around you. And I think that just kind of helps the program and helps kind of back us up as far as moving these young men on to the next stage of their lives.
Well, some 45 minutes in, and final thoughts that you have either from the Prince George Cougars perspective, Caribou Cougars, both things that maybe we haven't touched on or something you'd like to say to the fans, final thoughts from you.
No, I maybe just add that, you know, it's exciting here in Prince George. You got a very good Cougars team in the Western Hockey League that's, you know, number one in the CHL. And again, I can't stress enough how much it means to these guys having that building filled. And, you know, we can all make excuses why we don't go, but I'd rather you guys make excuses why you do go and, you know, support these young guys. It means a lot to them. Trust me, I'm 25 years removed from when I played, and it still sends shivers down my spine thinking about the support that we had back in the late 90s. And I mean, there's still stories going around, and they're all true, right? It was an exceptional time to be a Cougar, and you know, it's sure nice to see like the teddy bear toss night or the odd game where they're up over 4,000, just to see the support from this community, because I mean, when they're in that building, they're loud and proud. And I know that's an old saying, but I mean, it's true. It's a loud building. It's exciting. They're very hockey knowledgeable. And you know, from the Caribou standpoint, I mean, we're second fiddle. We're lower level, but I mean, we got some exciting hockey coming up here. We're in first place, and we're pushing to win this league and do some big things ourselves. So, you know, any of those hockey fans out there, we try to stagger our games around the Cougars so we're not competing with them. And you know, if you love hockey, you can usually watch us in the afternoon and the big Cougars in the evening. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of opportunity out there to watch some good hockey.
Well, all the best, and it's going to be an exciting part. You know, you're a little bit of a role you have with the PG Cougars now, at least being on ice with them and seeing where the Caribou Cougars are going and all of that, outdoors to come. So we'll keep in touch. It's been great having you on our podcast today.
You bet. Thanks, Hartley. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Tyler Bruff is the head coach of the Caribou Cougars Under-18 BC Elite Hockey League team, and he's also the president of the Prince George Cougars Alumni Association. You have been listening to CatScan. Have a great one.